Cornflower Blue by Ink for Human Hands. Read by Coprime. Rating, teen and up. Archive warning, no archive warnings apply. Fandom, Daredevil TV. Relationship, Wilson Fisk / James Wesley. Additional tags, point of view James Wesley, light angst, rare pairings, secret relationship, power imbalance, workplace relationship, and possibly unrequited love. Summary: Wesley's conviction wavers for just a moment. Rules. Wesley was good at following them. Rules unwritten and unseen, safer in the air that hung heavy after a social faux pas in the company of high society. Words that, if they were put to paper, showed up just as often in the threading detail of a new suit printed on a matte advertisement card as they did in the write-ups of elite business journals. He built his career on knowing these rules, where they could be skirted, made to dip and bend around his will and that of the man he'd pledged his life to, as well as which ones were to remain inviolate. Wesley prided himself on never having had much trouble with the latter category. It took a special kind of determination to have weathered an unarticulated promise to stay put on his aunt's farm in Iowa while he tended his high school resume and Fisk built his connections out on the East Coast in the dark. It'd been tough. There'd been no contact between them, and, as he put on years that, one by one, distanced him from the lovesick child who'd presented his departing neighbor with a bouquet of weeds from the unkempt fringes of his farm's cornfield, he'd often wondered if the phone would ever ring with the summons he'd convinced himself was coming. But even then, his resolve hadn't wavered. He'd polished himself till the shine made him worth something. A business degree, foreign language skills, and social graces. And he'd been rewarded for his patience and hard work, most handsomely, with a place at Fisk's side and one half of his bed. Wesley was satisfied. That Fisk couldn't afford to be seen as soft while in the midst of building an empire necessitated one more rule, secrecy, did not trouble him. Eventually, Fisk, they, would be untouchable. Wesley wasn't so fussy as to take the delay personally. Let Fisk's associates underestimate him, so long as they didn't do the same with Fisk himself. It was a small price to pay for this. Fisk smiled at him appreciatively as he lined up two glasses from the cabinet and filled them with fresh squeezed orange juice from a pitcher. Beside him, Fisk sprinkled chopped green onions over their omelets, already plated, and Wesley took a moment to admire him in his navy bathrobe, powerful forearms jutting out from his rolled-up sleeves. If anyone had thought the crime boss at odds with domesticity, it was because they didn't know him the way Wesley did. Nobody did, and Wesley took delight in knowing that nobody else ever would. They relocated to the dining room table to eat. Sunlight streamed through the floor-to-ceiling windows, glinting off the rims of their glasses and the tines of their forks like magic. It might as well have been. Wesley's omelet melted in his mouth. His phone was silent in his pocket. He asked Fisk how he'd slept. Wonderfully, with you by my side. Fairy tales could come true if only one put in the work. He'd proven it. Halfway through his omelet, Fisk cleared his throat. James, he said. Wesley set down his orange juice. Sir? I need you to do something for me. Fisk paused, his fingers hovering above his cloth napkin. It is a difficult request. Wesley concealed his unease with a smile. He had arranged murders to look like suicide, deceived city officials into providing him with their own blackmail materials, had smoothed over would-be rifts between Fisk's partners. He'd done the impossible again and again at Fisk's command, and never once had Fisk prefaced any of his orders with the word difficult. whatever you need. Fisk looked down as he began to elaborate. I need you to compile a list of candidates, he said, making eye contact with Wesley again, of potential female partners. One suitable for a man of my standing. That would be a boon for my image. It is time I start considering these things. Sir. The protest had left Wesley's lips before he had a chance to bite it back. His palms pressed into the edge of the table like they knew he was going somewhere that he didn't. He took them and placed them firmly in his lap. Wesley was shaken by his own reaction. It wasn't like him to doubt. He didn't ascribe motives to Fisk because he didn't need to. Fisk had always been open with him about his plans, and, when he wasn't, it had invariably been for a good cause. There was no reason to believe Fisk meant anything other than what he'd said. And nowhere in what he'd said had been the accusation that Wesley wasn't enough. Forgive me, he said, adjusting his glasses. Fisk looked back at him sorrowfully. He drew in a breath and said, This changes nothing. Of course. Wesley fished out his phone, averting Fisk's eyes, and entered a note into his task keeper. Then he picked up his fork, just as he would had Fisk asked him any other favor, his hand only trembling slightly. Fisk reached across the table to cover his other hand. James, do you trust me? Wesley met his gaze. He searched his eyes and saw nothing but sincerity. He wondered what Fisk saw in his. If he saw traces of that same cowardly jealousy that Wesley provoked in other men and was so often comorbid with insecurity. If he saw that Wesley, like them, was weak when it counted. That he wasn't, after all, immune to the smallest lapse in conviction. He was disgusted with himself, but he let nothing show on his face. Yes. Good, said Fisk. And he withdrew his hand and turned back to his omelet. Wesley followed suit, and they finished breakfast. Wesley opened his drawer and surveyed his collection of ties. He found the one he was looking for neatly folded toward the back. It was cornflower blue. Wesley believed there was power in a symbol. Power in the strength of the message it conveyed. Power that could anchor one to it when they'd found themselves adrift. This was as much for him as it was for Fisk. He looped it around his neck in front of the mirror. He'd come a long way from the boy clutching a bunch of half-wilted wildflowers, a few cornflowers among them. He knew that what Fisk needed wasn't sentiment. Rather, it was the qualities that cornflowers were said to represent, the qualities that Wesley strove to embody with his every waking breath. He pulled the knot of the tie up to his throat and fixed his sleeves, then went to see if Fisk had finished changing. "Shall I ready the car, sir?" he asked from the doorframe of the walk-in closet as Fisk fastened his cufflinks back to him. "Yes, and do impress upon the Rengskahovs that I expect them to be on time," Fisk said, turning around. His eyes flicked down to Wesley's tie. Wesley blushed faintly. He felt rooted to the spot as Fisk walked toward him and laid a hand on his shoulder. Cornflower blue, Fisk said approvingly. His hand came up to stroke the tender skin behind Wesley's jaw. Fidelity, reliability, traits I have always admired in you. Know that you are very dear to me, James, and that I expect nothing less. Wesley let out a shaky breath. There was something freeing in being held to an ironclad standard. He was grateful. He could do this. I'll get the names to you by tonight. The end. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this work, please consider leaving a comment on the original work for the author.